Hey, everybody. Welcome back to During Business Hours. I'm Christopher. This is Leslie. We're your host of During Business Hours podcast. Hit the like button, comment, share with your friends, hit the post notification bell, smack that bell. That way you'll be informed every time we put out an episode. And we'll see you. Let's get started. You've been seeing what's going on in the world this week?
I see some things. I know the stock market's crashed.
So much money has been lost, $1 trillion in the last 24 hours with the stock market crash.
Good grief.
It is Tuesday? No, it's Monday.
It's still Monday.
Jesus, it's Monday. This is going to be probably an extra episode for the week just to come out and say, hey, the stock market is crashing. We're going into the Great Depression of 2024. Not that we already haven't fucking been there. Certain businesses have been fine through all the recession and the inflation. Electronics, for one. Everyone's got a cell phone. Everyone needs a fixed cell phone. I've been lucky. Medical has been perfect. There hasn't been like mass firings for quite a few years. When's the last time?
The medical field, they laid off a lot of nurses after COVID.
Well, yeah, that's COVID, not since 2021.
And then on the insurance side, there was a layoff less than a year ago. Insurance is
always... I bet debt collection has been booming. With all the PPP loans and all the people who got, you know, money given to them for free that they thought was free in 2020, 2021, 2022.
Well, I bet
all those people are running for the hills now.
They're only trying to catch the ones with a lot of skin in the game, right? Like the ones who had a lot on their loans.
There was people with like $30,000 that had fraud that went to jail in 2021. Yeah. Like a pack of three people that... each filed for the other person like they were employed under those people. Like, hey, if I worked for you and I worked for you.
Oh, they had the whole squad scamming.
Yeah. But that's how they all did it and got away with it. But we had some people back then in 2020 that were fake unemployment. So a bunch of Asian
that
names.
Was crazy.
Yeah. We just kept getting Asian names from like San Francisco and people were filing from.
Couldn't even fight it with EE for a while.
Huang, all kind. It was
that,
weird.
XI was a big one.
Z, yeah, like it was nuts. There was a lot of people that were filing for unemployment for no reason, and then you got people that were borrowing, like I mentioned in one of the latest podcasts, borrowing from the government's 30-year fixed mortgage bullshit, where they were getting $500,000 and they can't make the payments now, but then they still got to pay it, and it's non. You can't bankrupt it. Can't do anything.
Wow.
Yep. A lot of people getting busted, and then I think it's kind of pointless. Those people just didn't see the writing on the wall back in 2020, 21. So, yeah, fuck them. I didn't take any of those loans out. I took a PPP loan, got forgiven, done. Have a nice one. It was $27,000.
I wish I would have filed unemployment with Toys R Us. Prove it.
Prove it. Yeah. I see Elon Musk is apparently in hot water again. So he responded to somebody's tweet about the, so there was a post about Europe and all the violence going on there. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he said, civil war is imminent. And the fucking government and people from the government were like,
US government?
No, that's what I'm trying to find. Yeah. So the British Prime Minister calls out Elon Musk over his claim civil war is inevitable in the UK. But it wasn't on the British Prime Minister's post. It was an ex post.
Just a random.
Yeah. There's no justifications for comments like that in the British Prime Minister's quote. And then said, anyone who stokes this violence, whether the internet or in person, can be prosecuted and face prison. Prison. Paris said, the Prime Minister of the UK.
That's so dramatic.
And then I think he posted something like a picture that was like, come and get me.
Right. It's like if another country can be concerned about what you're posting on the internet, then Hot Girl Summer could get beheaded in Saudi because can't do that.
Well, no, because there they've restricted free speech. There is no free speech. You can't call somebody else a pedophile without like going to court and hard proving it. You can't say anything about somebody's color, ethnicity, gender. You will go to jail. They'll knock on your door for something.
UK or Saudi?
UK.
Okay.
Yeah, they will knock on your door and just hunt your ass down for money. It's all for money. It's for-profit prisons the same way the United States is. Everything's about money. The only reason they would put Elon Musk away is to get him to pay some hefty ass fine. And then look, right after they posted that with the whole Civil War thing, another, you know, New York Times or some other bullshit fake news article said that he was being investigated for PAC and how he's, you know, using his money and funneling it. Because apparently in certain states that are battleground states, instead of clicking the link to donate to Donald Trump, it routes you through to another place. Really? So more information, more facts. Oh. So it's kind of like, hey, we just want to donate, but, you know, hey, come get some information first, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But the way it made, the article made it sound was like he was funneling people to get them off site, to get them to spend more money elsewhere. And I'm like, this motherfucker doesn't need money. It's right. Not him trying to get money for himself. If I was Elon Musk, I'm like, well, I've already set aside $90 billion. I'm just going to call it quits whenever I want.
Right.
Maybe I'll become president. Maybe I'll take your wife. Like, eh, what's it for Tuesday?
Yeah, tune in Tuesday to find out
what Johnny, can we just go burn down the Cheerios factory? Well, I got to buy it. Oh, it'll take 3 to 6 months. Okay, move on. Like, anything he wants to do, he could do. He could buy it and burn it down. Anything. Motherfucker probably has more money than the art in the Louvre. Hey, Siri, how much is the Louvre worth? As of 2022, the Louvre and its contents are worth at least $45.5 billion.
I feel like Elon's got more than that.
That's a fact. So he could buy the Louvre, soak it in kerosene, light it on fire.
And still have all his bills
and paid. Be home for dinner. And like, he's not trying to embezzle funds. Most people most of the time in my industry and my businesses that I've dealt with, the only embezzlement that ever happens is somebody trying to steal from the owner for one. Mm-hmm. Or business partners that try and embezzle because they feel like they're not making as much as somebody else who...
Or they got the short end of the stick in some deal.
Because there's been times where I've been screwed over because I've brought in a deal to somebody and I've been like, okay, well, I brought this deal. I'm going to take 70%. And then somebody's like, well, I'm only getting 30 and I'm doing nothing. And so they'll be like, So I'll be like, all you have to do is be here for the person to pay you. And then... post fees, everything, you'll get 30% of whatever we make. Mm-hmm. And then that person robbed me. I can't see how embezzlement for funds like that would be on the side of the person who is more profitable, more financially stable.
Right.
You know what I mean? You'd have to be very desperate to embezzle a good thing. You got to be the low man on the pole.
Somebody trying to grind up.
Yeah. There's never an owner operator that's embezzling his own funds. You know what I mean? It's very hard. You'd have to embezzle money that's being paid to you from another party. It's not like your money that you're earning that you worked for. You'd have to, I don't know how to say it, but you'd have.
I feel like the top dogs embezzle from time to time, but usually the story ends up coming out where like he just hated whoever he was in business with so much that it was just like a big F you. Like
Ozark. Sorry.
What about it?
He embezzled money from the mafia. The guy ended up embezzling like $7 or $8 million. And then, of course, the main character had to come. Oh, you know, the Ozarks. This is a landmine. And then he turned, you know, gold out of shit.
Yeah. That's what happens when you're not friendly in business.
There is no friends in business. That's another lesson that if anybody here can take, never go into business with your family. It works out 1 out of every 100. And never go into business with your friends. It never works out. You will either lose the friendship to becoming business associates or business partners, or there will be something bad that will happen. Because with business comes challenges. Challenges either break or make someone. And statistically speaking, one person gets broken, one gets made.
I think it's really just a shame that it's like that, because who else would you really want to go into business with? You know, like you're supposed to have that level of trust with your friends and your family, if nobody else.
But it's a different type of trust.
I get that. Money shows people's true colors.
Mm-hmm. I'm an asshole when it comes to money. Absolutely. But I grew up learning that my entire family always pulled this shit where it was like, hey, you could sleep on our couch. You could eat our food. your tough times are my tough times. I think my mother spent more time coddling people she knew to be better in their eyes or seem like a good Christian or, you know, just to help somebody else outside of the family rather than spending a weekend with her kids. Like I got, and for some reason, my brother Clayton, who's the oldest, 7 years older than me, has this idea that he got cut out of the family. Like, because he had other younger brothers, so they got all the time. I didn't get all the time. I think Kyle got most of the time because everyone thought he was retarded from 2 to 10 years old.
He got that sickness, and then your mom just...
He had viral encephalitis and had a bunch of seizures from a spider bite, all this stuff. But he's fine now.
Right.
He's still living at home at 35, but he's fine. That's his only downside. But man, for years, it was like we had at least 4 or 5 people that lived on our couch on and off from the age I can remember till 5 till 12, 7 years. I remember 5 people off the top of my head, not including my grandfather, who was dying around the time I was 10, then ended up dying shortly after at 11 in a hotel alone, suffering from diabetes and a lot of things. But it was weird that that taught me, don't put all your effort into those people or that much trust when it comes to money, because every single one of those people fucked my family over for money, one way or another.
I think we both just got the shit end of the stick when it comes to that type of thing. Because, I mean, I have such a big family. My mom's the youngest of 13, 4 on my dad's side. Everybody's got 3 to 11 of their own kids, more kids. That is so many cousins.
And not one you would trust. We to hold your cash.
Right.
Yep.
But we could be running streets if they weren't in the streets.
Or if they had an IQ above 60. I'm just saying, a majority of your like cousins have issues with education. Even the street education seems like they got it twisted.
I mean, I've definitely have more than 100 cousins, and I've probably got about a handful that have gone to college and actually... like, didn't just go to community college for a semester, you know, like, actually went through
it. Give me my FAFSA for $1,200. You know, I came up with this great plan. Yeah, we can get rich. Let me just get 12 credits.
Oh, my God.
And then, but if I get 12 credits, I get the Pell Grant. And if for you who don't know, for college, it's the easiest dumb way to get free money. Go and sleep in a few classes. Don't get kicked out. Be nice. And every 3 months, you get $1,200.
Or like now, like with the people who have any kind of idea that what your finances might look like, they call you and they're like, Chris, let me get a loan. And it's like, it's not a large sum, but it's large it's for like, them.
Yeah,
and
$400 or $500.
Yeah. Yeah. Or on like average. Somebody asked for like $5,000 to $10,000. It's like, what do you really think you're going to do with that money? Like, okay. What do you really think?
Now that you bring this up, somebody has been reaching out to me a lot more recently.
Oh, no.
And I'm just going to bring this up on the podcast because I think it'll get a better reaction, but okay. His name is...
Oh, my goodness. Is this about that accident? Hold on.
It's about the thing we spoke about last week.
Okay.
And it seems like they're asking for advice, and it's about insurance, and me, I'm the insurance king because I've had... There's not been one insurance issue that I have not profited from. And if you don't know that, just stay tuned. I'll probably make an entire video dedicated to how you can make money from insurance by prepping for bad things that obviously will happen in your future. It happens to everyone. Always be prepared. So, but this person keeps reaching out. It's like, hey, what do I do? How is this? How is that? Today it was, well, you know, I just wanted to talk to you for like 10 or 15 minutes. And... yeah, it didn't go my way. No, they're not going to do it.
You said.
They're not going to do anything. But, you know, my landlord said they're going to give me new carpets and new walls. And, you know, I feel like that's fair. I lost $6,000, but I'll get new walls. What? I'm thinking of suing over fucking 6 tiles.
Right.
Like, I'm currently in an issue right now with one of my landlords that there is 6 water-soaked tiles that I am thinking of suing. And I won't sue for a lot, but my pain and time loss, business loss for the 2 days we were probably, you know, on the closing end of one day. We closed for 4 hours. Next day, we stayed closed for 3 hours investigating photos, etc. I probably lost $2,000. Mm-hmm. The idea that $2,000 plus my time is around $4,500. Lost money that could have been in my pocket.
Right.
But I was concerned of mold, mildew, customer safety, and I'm not going to put it on my claim. No, I asked the landlord for his. And then, no, we painted. So we spray painted all the tiles, took the insulation out so it wasn't like smelly. And I'm like, hey, you have to fix this. You cannot just
cover it up.
And I haven't heard back from him. So I'm thinking I'll send him a legal demand notice, which is the first step to suing anyone. If you didn't know, it is literally $3 to certified mail a printed letter with your name, number, date, 7-day notice. Here you go. As soon as it's signed for delivered, they have 7 days to reply. If they don't, you just take that to the courthouse, $35. Bob's your uncle. You got 30 days until the court, as long as it's under 10 grand in most states. Take this with a grain of salt. This is not legal advice, but 9 out of 10, I've won. And then it's from 4,500. It's 7,500 with my time now going to court. And the judge is always like, well, you can't really bill that much for your time. And I'm like, okay, how's 62? You got it. Thanks, judge.
What do you need him from him? His insurance carrier?
Yeah. Carrier and policy number. So I can make a claim.
I'll get you the carrier.
Yeah, I know. But the policy number is the important, part.
I'll see what I can do.
Because most carriers won't just give you or elect to give you that information. Like, yeah, our client is X, Y, and Z. That's fine. I can't just call USAA and be like, Mrs. Love was driving her car. I have the license and I'd like to make a claim.
So he, even if you had the ID number or the
account, I'd have to have the account number, yeah, or the claim information.
I can do a little digging.
Yeah, it's really fun. She's like the FBI. But it's really funny because there's people who make it their life's mission when they find out how easy it is to sue people, and they just sue people all the time.
Something's got to land.
Yeah. Because you're allowed in California. It was 12 lawsuits. One a month.
I didn't know there was like a quota on there.
Yes. 12 small claims a year. You can sue once a month. So the idea being, if somebody was just walking around doing whatever and then tripped and falled on something or saw an opportunity that like something was illegal or there was pain and suffering to have, there are people that just do that and they make a killing off of it, especially on like larger sums. Some people will trip and fall at a Walmart and get like $45,000, $200,000, whatever medical benefit bullshit that happens afterwards where they're covered for so many years. It happens. It is a very profitable thing. There are jobs for everyone, from shoveling shit to, melting down gold on PCBs to suing Walmart 6 times a year. Somebody does it.
Somebody.
Not me, though. Not legal advice. But insuring every aspect of your life comes with the benefit of getting paid when things go wrong. Look into it.
Solid advice.
It is. But problem is you have to have some capital to pay the premiums. So if you have like a small business that you make your first $500, and back to the person I told needs to get more insurance, they're not getting more insurance.
Oh my goodness.
But they need to get more insurance because when one bad thing happens, they come in waves. It's like a bad gambling habit. Or bad gambling habit. It goes up for a long time and then it comes down for a long time. And little bumps in the road when you're going down shitty patches. It happens.
What's crazy to me is I'm pretty sure that they said that they only had liability, which only covers you when you're dealing with face to face with customers, which isn't the scenario at all for them. So that's not even anywhere near the type of insurance that they need.
Exactly. They are supposed to have property insurance for their rental, which is he could have just had regular homeowners and renters.
Right.
It wouldn't have mattered because there's a toilet and a bath in that like studio storage unit.
Space, yeah.
Yeah. So people can legally live there. It's zoned for commercial and residential. But for some reason, they treat it as a business.
He's getting slim pickings in California. Everybody's leaving.
So even Chevron is out. Did you see that? Chevron. They're going to take their gas and go east. Like, Chevron, come out here. You won't last long. Our gas is so much cheaper and so much better.
We pay $2.
So yeah. Come out right, the highest gas I've seen out here is $3.09.
That's high.
That's high. But that's high. It. That's 30 miles to the next gas station.
Oh, so they're getting it.
They're getting it. They're right on that bend on like the, what do they call it? The Punky Drive or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's right on that bend. And there's nothing for 29 miles that way, 29 miles this way. Yeah, I'm like, that's so a good ass idea.
If you ain't got it, that's the only place you're going to get it.
I'm going to start dropping pins on a map where it's like 20 miles from each thing and then just copy that said thing.
I already got one.
20 miles from another tire station. There you go. 20 or 25 miles, another tire station. Open a tire station. 25 miles from the nearest burger joint. Another burger joint. You know what I mean?
I got a location for that.
What's that?
When you turn off of from Woodward, when you're leaving, if you're going towards Visay, there ain't nothing for dumb long. I feel like you could get all the way to the church and still not see a gas station.
Do you know how much it is to open a gas station?
Too much.
Too fucking much. It's the liquor store alone is like $1.5 million for inventory, everything. It's $1.5 million just for a liquor store. In California.
Yeah, that's...
That's without licensing.
That's California.
No. That's without... That was pre-pandemic. That's what Bob O told me, just starting his KB Liquors was.
In California.
That was probably 2018. 2018, sir, California was better.
You telling me Annie got $1 million?
Who?
The liquor store.
Annie's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Annie's got $1 million. They bought that... God... Like, you telling me ATM Liquors has got $1 million? Hell no.
The Divines?
Divines is kind of like me. You know, they just started their own, their small business. They don't even have an LLC. Is that crazy? Their shit is public record.
That's crazy because that is one of the families that owns a lot of that town.
Yep, but their Radio Shack is one of their first businesses out there. Like I said, electronics is big. They probably flooded the money they got from little shit like that, or probably oil money, whoever. But that building was one of the first things. And that's public record. It doesn't even show an LLC as the registered owner.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, oof, that's dangerous. Trip and fall. Insurance, like I said. I don't want to own a Radio Shack, though. And they're nice. Nice to me. But Kirby's. Can I tell you about a story about how I got petty and started giving people hundreds of dollars this week?
Tell it.
So.
That was my shopping money, but you know what?
Okay. So I started giving out free money in the name of a woman named Peyton Wilson. Unfortunately, it's called the Wilson Special this week. Anyone writes me a 5-star review, you get $30 off. If it's 4-star, I'll give you $25, so on and so forth. If you get to 1-star, I'll give you still some money off. The idea being, a lady came in last Tuesday and said, hey, I need X, Y, and Z for my iPhone 8. It's not giving me sound out of the bottom speaker. And I said, ma'am, don't worry about it. We'll check you in for a diagnostic. It's $30. That'll roll over to any repair we do. It's $89 if we do the full repair for the speaker. Yes, $89 out here in Oklahoma, and it's a 15-minute repair. Sue me. I've got insurance. The idea was she could not wait to have me do the diagnostic. So I said, hey, we have had somebody paid an overnight. I will go ahead and throw it on that overnight. We'll open it tomorrow and do the diagnostic and then find out what's wrong. Come tomorrow. She comes in. I'm not there. I'm off on Wednesdays because I'm a business owner that works 4 days a week at 5 hours a day. Just sue me. Insurance. The fucking speaker is wrong because she gave us the wrong model. So we tell her. All that was opened when I looked on the camera, he opened it. Ma'am, did you know this is an iPhone 8 or SE? You know, 2022, I think is what he said. No, I thought it was an 8. Okay, boom, boom. We'll just order another one. We'll pay for overnight. We spent another $35. She didn't pay another dime. Come Thursday, 10 a.m., she's in there screaming. My phone doesn't work. It's taking longer to respond. It's not opening Facebook. I don't know what you did. You fucking broke it. You effing pieces. I'm going to shut this down. You're trying to screw me. Her husband's saying that we're trying to one up on her and steal her money. And we're like, okay, well, we'll just charge you the diagnostic, which is us opening the device, finding out what the issue is and what the model is for you. We make our $30. That's it. That is non-refundable because that pays for our time, not to mention the extra $35 we spent and the part still showing up while she was there. We don't get that back. That money is gone. It's straight up. Even if we return the part and if they RMA it, if we said it didn't work, we don't get the shipping and we still don't get that money because it's stuck in the supplier's account. They will not refund it. It just stays with them. So then I get a call from Seth and he's like, I don't know what to do. This person's screaming at me. You checked her out and there's no invoice. Is there an invoice you gave her or sent her? I was like, yeah, she got a receipt invoice. It just says what we're doing and when it's going to be done. And I gave her the full breakdown of everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll refund her the 15 because I charged her 45 up front, which is half the repair cost. I already notified her that it was going to be 30 for the diagnostic and we'll complete the diagnostic at said time, but she was in a rush. And so she wants the full 45 back. But he already refunded the 15 and was like, well, you'll have to wait 25 minutes for Chris to get in because I'm on my way at this time. So she scampers off, calls him an asshole and all kinds of names. And the husband flips him off. And I'm like, you can't be serious. These are like 70-year-old people. She looks like a bit of she's got issues. And I was surprised when I got there. I looked in AT&T and I was like, I wonder if I'm going to go have a conversation and set this right. There's something missing here. So I go to AT&T, tell them about it. And like, oh no, she was screaming up a storm here too. She just doesn't like you guys. Turns out I come back to the shop and I'm like, if she shows up, record it. Seth recorded the whole thing. I'm like, I just don't want to deal with these people. I didn't think they were coming back because of the way they acted and cursing him out and cursing the store out. Well, they showed up and I'm like, whoa, I'm surprised you're even here. Do you remember a conversation we had not even 2 days ago and why we did this, why we did that? No. I took it to a professional. They said that you broke my logic board. Considering I'm the only professional for probably 120 miles, who did you take it to?
It's Kirby.
They don't even work on logic boards.
That's my point.
They
have no experience in the matter. They just want to stir the pot. We have a pair of elderly couples in this town that own repair stores. There's two separates. Mm-hmm. One we do business with all the time. They fucking love us. Mark, you're a godsend. You're a nice guy. I really wish the best for you. But Kirby's, I don't even know their fucking name because I got thrown out of their store the first time I went there as a customer just for asking why they don't fix one thing.
Right.
And that was before we moved here. So when we moved here and told them we were going to open a store, you're never going to make it. People aren't going to take to this. We're a small town. We have each other's back. I was like, well, I was offering to do, you know, B2B for you and I could do back glass, et cetera. I wasn't even going to offer electronics repair, but now I am. And then in 2 years down the road, well, this is a nice house. Your car is really nice. And holy shit, we must be doing well. Just saying it's, we shouldn't be open. We shouldn't have done well at all.
Should have closed down before we unlocked the doors.
Before the door opened. That's right. We were going to close up shop before the doors open. And now it's come down to, well, why don't you write them a negative review? So they have to buy your phone. That's what they're telling people.
Wow.
Now, this is all from the customer. Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear from Kirby. I would really love to hear from Kirby. But when I call, I don't get an answer. Then I call and say, hey, this is so-and-so from Love Family. It's an immediate hangup. Immediate. Not even, they know my voice at this point. It's
they
like
don't
a.
Know mine.
I know, right? So when she came back in and she, after the 25 minutes, and I got all this information, it was more her screaming about, I'm a liar, I'm trying to screw her, and where are the signs that say what I told her that day? And I'm like, in California, in my other stores, you have to put up a big old sign that says, hey, we charge a base fee that is not upfront, non-refundable, no matter what you do, cry to your mommy. I don't do that here because I say the same thing to every single person on camera. Mm-hmm. So then she's like, all right, show me the camera, this. And I was like, I don't have to. I'm not going to. You've already caused so much trouble at this point. I'm never going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. You want a full refund and you're still going to bitch at me afterwards for something that, from what Seth told me, when he looked at her phone, she updated the phone last night at 2:35 a.m. It's an iPhone SE 2022.
There you go.
You know, that it can cause lags, whatever, but her memory's already full, storage issues, so it's not our problem. Mm-hmm. So I was like, ma'am, you got a million other issues, and I really just don't want you in my store, so have a nice day. And the husband's like, oh, really? I was like, respectfully, sir, you weren't even a part of this. You've never been here until today, so I would stay out of it. I was very kind to her until she started cursing at me, and I was like, have a nice day. Move on. Because we just want her $30. We're dying to steal her $30, she said. Every customer from, what was that, Friday when it started to next Friday, 5-star review, $30 off your repair. Doesn't matter what it is. You got a $50 repair, $30 off your repair.
You wanted a screen protector? It's free today. Yeah,
as long as you get a repair. Because I'm not just going to give them $30 just for coming in. But yeah, restrictions apply. But still, then people started posting reviews. Thanks to the Wilson special.
Oh, no.
Thank you for the Wilson special. Love you, fast friendly. Save $30 because some lady went off. Thanks for the Wilson special.
I gotta check those out later.
It's amazing. So the idea being, I was going to screenshot these and send them to her because, you know, we're dying for her $30. Because at this moment, I've probably given away $300. 10 people have taken me up on the write a review. And like, I don't need 30 customers a day, et cetera. But we probably do, you know, $1,000 a day. So if we're giving away, even that's 10 customers at $100 a piece, $300 a day, we'll be fucking fine. It'll be fine. And I'm just a petty little fucker. And I love it because she was so hyped up. And then she wrote that review while sitting in her broken down truck after I kicked them out of the store, said that they were going to burn me down on Facebook.
I was waiting for that review. Her Wi-Fi must have been lagging because it took a minute.
And then I replied and I was like, this is sad. Because I had ChatGPT write the reply and I told her to make it snarky. And it's a female on my computer because the way she talks, she's saucy.
When you got the sass.
Yeah. And so her saucy, sassy little ass made it very snarky and like to the point that your disrespectful, demeaning, childish attitude is the reason you got kicked out of our store. We don't need your $30, but you were, you know, willful disregard of the facts and how what you were spoken to Tuesday versus Wednesday versus Thursday and how it's just a new issue. We don't want your business. Basically like that. And then she replied at 5 fucking a.m. the next morning. At 5 a.m., 5:01 is when it was posted. Well,
it wasn't a reply. She edited it.
So it's a much clearer picture of the type of person we're dealing with. I think drugs. Seth thinks she's just mentally unwell.
What's crazy to me is because that other store doesn't even work on logic boards. So say, for whatever reason, this woman got a hair up her ass and decided to take it into Apple or send it to them. And Apple's like, no, your memory is just full. Your logic board is completely fine.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to bring up. I'm waiting for her new reply because my edit to her edit, I laid down a bet. I offered if she can bring me any statement that says there's any type of technician damage to that logic board, that I would buy her phone in full from the day she bought it or buy her a new phone.
Unless she just walks into Kirby and they break her.
There's a difference there. It can't just be willful. It has to be technician damage. There's a difference in sight because we'll inspect it. And then all of a sudden there's a drill hole to the logic board. It's not the same thing. You know what I mean?
The technician don't use a drill.
Yeah. Well, not even just that. But the idea is like, you can tell if somebody sabotaged it for personal gain. I've had that before where I gave somebody that deal and then it just looked like somebody broke the phone in half.
Or the men that slip 100 in there. Don't tell my wife this phone. Don't open.
We don't bring it up. But now that you have. Yes, we have had that happen. It's never been a $100 bill, but the story started back in 2017 where a guy had slipped $20 into the inside of a broken phone that he was trying to hide from his wife.
Don't fix this.
And it said, please don't repair. She can't have the messages. Little did he know that the wife came in then bribing us to get the iCloud back in 2017. So we got her access to the iCloud because she was the two-factor. That's the dumb thing. So the recovery email was hers. So we got our money's worth and we got a $20 tip from the guy. And then I told that story 2018 to somebody. Next thing you know, all the TikToks fake $100 bills stuffed in phones with, you know, my wife can't find out about my mistress and this thing that happened that was on Tuesday 24, delete the pictures, please don't show her the messages. None of that happened. None of that happened. It was, okay, she can't get the messages, delete, great. It was fix it, but delete the info. Not like, don't fix this phone. And then, but the crazy lady type thing was like, the moment she told me Kirby's was at it, there was two options for my pettiness. Either A, drum up enough business to buy them out, or B, well, technically three options. A was drum up enough business, buy them out like I did with Legacy, iComputer Geek, and a couple others. Mm-hmm. Or I could do the same thing I did to iParts Repair and, you know, boycott their store with a picket line. You know, the little sign. Mm-hmm. That's what I did with iParts Repair back in 2012. You know, and hey, that worked. Now look at me now. I'm now a repair technician. I never thought I was going to, I was a welder at the time. I'm a very petty person. I don't like people doing stupid shit for no reason. And I get angry about it. But the idea I landed with was a little more sour because I figured review bombing would be the best option. Just every shitty customer that comes in and complains about something they did, to pay them to post their response. Like if they come in with a shitty aftermarket screen that says, hey, they don't want to fix this or don't want to warranty this, all right, leave them a review about your experience and I'll give you the discount. That's it.
There you go.
It's not the, you know, trying to harass them with fake reviews. Incentivizing their customers to leave an honest and positive or negative feedback. Mm-hmm. Maybe they learn from it and shut their fucking mouths, or maybe they don't and they go bankrupt either way. Sue me. I've got insurance. But other than that, it's been a good week. It's been a busy week. We've had nothing but overnights every day. People are paying for them. A lot of people are getting on the board. The average parts spend is about $400 a day. And if that's 20% of our overall cost, it's been a busy week. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only Monday, so let's hope it slows down a little bit. So I didn't get home till what? Almost 9 today.
Was it that late?
It was almost 9, yeah. Because it was 8:30, actually, because then we watched my daughter's now into anime. A Journey Through Another World with Children is one of her favorites. That's kind of cute.
That's a long title, but
They get long. In this anime, a man finds two children after being hit by Truck-kun, which is, if anybody knows, you know, it's the truck that randomly revives people to another world because you get hit by it and killed. But it's a magical creature. Immediately selects you for hero status in another world. And then he meets a god who's like, oh, you're my favorite person. Here's like a bunch of powers. And so he finds two kids, not even instantly when he's dropped in this forest, picks up the kids and goes, yeah, I'm going to raise you.
Oh, his stepdad and some orphans.
Yeah, some blue-haired orphans that have superpowers because they got like, they're superhero kids. They just instantly smack down S-tier freaking dragons and stuff. So she's happy about that. That's our show. Comes out every Monday. Boom. That, and then we've been watching, what, Time Bandits and something else. The Batman didn't really land. She didn't really like that. But Time Bandits, Wandla on Apple TV Plus. Yeah. She's only 8, but she's getting the hang of all the TV shows. And, like, she can remember everything compared to the conversation we had last week. She doesn't know what she had for dinner yesterday, but she'll remember all the aspects of the characters and all the things she wants them to do. And she's like, oh, I'm so excited for this to happen. Yes. Y'all know it's 9 days till school. So we're excited about that because then the kids get out of the fucking house.
This will be the first time that I've worked from home without a child present.
It's going to be depressing.
I mean, maybe after a couple of weeks.
How do you feel that you're going to do working? But not because her type of job, she gets done in 20 minutes and then gets to hang out for a few hours and gets a new task, so on and so forth. There's a lot of people in working from home that just don't tend to work as much as they say they do. And especially if you're good at your job, like there's a guy who worked 12 different online jobs.
I saw that. That's crazy.
I'm going to find that photo. 12 jobs and he only makes over $100,000 a year. That's fucking crazy.
Because...
He makes only $1 million a year.
Okay, I was going to say it's got to be more than that.
Yeah, but that's 12 jobs to make $1 million. And that's not even post-tax.
That don't sound good to me.
That sounds like $60,000 each. Hey, Siri. What's 65 times 12? So at least one of those has to be...
IT. He's touching close to one.
Yeah, but that's only $750,000. On your average, IT job is $65,000 a year. So that's why I went with 65. So he has 12 positions. One of them has to be a high-ticket job, high-paying job.
Or he's at least in leadership doing the same job.
What if he was the manager, supporting director, and the person doing the job so he could give himself the job, delegate to himself, and then be a team leader for one of his teams that's on a project that he's also paying himself, all in the same company?
No, you can't do that. HR would flag your...
What if it was under different names? Like, I have four names.
You got different socials too, bud?
Technically, each company has a different EIN. So what if he did that, though? It was like,
That wouldn't fly.
If he was a 1099, then they could...
HR isn't going to hire somebody under an EIN. They're going to need your social.
Yeah. I wish the world was different. Because I thought about that when we found Eric was embezzling and all the guys were just kind of fucking off in our main store. That was my main income back in 2022. Mm-hmm. That store was my income. All of our savings, our stocks, everything was just kind of... nothing really jumped. There was no, hey, let's go spend $5,000 on anything else. It was all of our money, our fun money was from that store. Mm-hmm. So to have it just go completely negative and then to suck in all of the extra savings and the bullshit. It was fast. It was fast. It was a turn of the dime. You know, we went from having, you know, I think there was one month we made $30,000 profit that year. It was the first month, January. Mm-hmm. $30,000 clean, taxes paid. To April that year being down almost $90,000.
Right.
That's how fast that was. People stealing, you know. And as fast as it was, because we had just moved, we were focused on building, spending on the new store and the new business.
Getting the house in order,
transferring the kids' stuff, handling all the bullshit with Daddy Doug at the time and our families. And it was... yeah, it just moved. One moment you're looking down, the next moment you're looking up going, where'd $18,000 go? And so...
you come home like, you spending money? I'm like, I ain't spending money. Are you spending money?
I know. I was like, then we really sat down and looked at it and we're like, this is wrong. And then when Eric, I think it was right when we sat down, Eric had come back from his little trip to Philadelphia or I don't know, wherever his transgender girlfriends were. Pennsylvania, I don't know.
Wherever.
I think it was Philadelphia, but the idea was all of a sudden he was like, oh, I'm going to move. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. How the fuck do you have money to move?
Right.
He's like, oh, you know, I saved the money you gave me for Christmas, which I gave him $5,000. Mm-hmm. That was also, you'd been with me almost 5 years. He helped me with all the bullshit that I went through the year before with the move. So I was like, okay, here, I appreciate you. Here's $5,000. I know you're probably going to work a little less because you have this comfort bubble, but I really need you to stick with it. There's only good things to come with how much we're making and what's going on. And the next thing you know, it was like a different person.
Robbed blind.
I think in afterwards, because we had about a month after Eric, we lost another like $15,000 after Eric was gone. So they had to be in on it or, you know, privy to how it worked to be that blind to it.
Right.
So that's why I went through, and if you haven't seen that video, I just fired the entire store and sold it the next day. So the person who's owning it now is doing all right. He's got some person working for him, probably doing about $25,000 a month, I'm assuming.
Seemed like a cool little crew he had in there.
Yeah. I think it's much smaller now since one of his newer persons also just transitioned and had a full surgery. And
They just had trouble.
Yeah, so that turned into trouble real quick with going from like a 1099 employee to demanding all kinds of things. So I think that was a bad choice on his end, but that person's had some...
You live and you learn.
Yeah, you live and you learn. I tried to warn him though because I had dealt with that person before And then they're just...
Yeah, they were a short-term employee for you at some point.
Yeah. You know, life is what life is. But sometimes I forget how much I've done in the last 10 years. You know? You think about, like, running a business is very hard. Mm-hmm. But then you think about all the things that have come and gone that seem like they weren't of substance. That it wasn't a challenging time, but it was just another day. And then you're like, you know, I've thought about this tiny thing that happened on a Tuesday last week. And I'm like, no, this has happened before. And then so many moments I've had where something troubling has happened at this new location that's only been open less than 5 years. And I'm like, man, all these little troubling, tiny things that don't really affect me as much because I've had other business. Yeah, I've experienced it. And I found that to be so funny because a lot of the businesses don't last past their first year, or if they do, they don't last past their first 5 years. It's something like a 50% closure rate for small businesses. I found that interesting because I was like, the only reason I could see me closing is if I spent more than I made. Because when I started that business, boy, it was, I made $30 a day and I could pay my bills. That's all I needed. It was 900.
I think it really depends on how you get your business and the consistency. Because consistency is just key for everything. And then if a business falls into your lap, you haven't really grinded to get there. So you don't have the work ethic it takes to keep it going. Whereas if you literally started from the bottom and worked your way up there, you know what it takes to continue that momentum.
With my business, it was, you know, from scratch. I had to get my own customers, my own hardware. Nobody gave me anything. I still reference this all the time. But for some reason, everyone thought that my ex-girlfriend's dad had given me financial help. Like, because I was hanging out with somebody who was a multimillionaire that was, you know, on newspapers, etc., had to have given me a loan. And I found that asinine. That was
That's crazy because, I mean, I guess if you've never been around people that had money like that, you wouldn't really know. But those tend to be the more stingy people because they at some point were there and they're like, if I came from the bottom and I did this, you can too. So I got some wise words for you, but no money.
Daryl is a man who has $30 million that he can't fathom spending. It's just sitting there. He'll never spend it. Nearly $30 million. And he referenced that recently and was like, I can't tell you what I would spend it on. The only thing I can hope for is that my kids have kids and they spend it on their kids because, you know, that's how it's going to be.
I think it was Jackie Chan that said this, but it was like, well, one, he doesn't really care for either of his kids for different reasons. But even before that, he had said something like that he wasn't leaving his money to his kids. Well, because if my son is smart enough, he'll make the money himself.
If
he's not smart enough, he'll just be wasting mine.
As much as I respect Jackie Chan, he's a bit of a cunt.
Valid.
Yeah, especially with his daughter's stuff. If any of that's true, the whole idea of like cutting your daughter off because she's gay, like if any of our kids are gay, I won't care. The idea that we've made them gay would make me resent myself. You know what I mean?
I don't think that's possible.
Hold on. It is very possible for you to mentally abuse your child.
I don't think that's going to turn them into being gay.
Well, I think it's going to lean them into discovering different things about themselves, you know, that they otherwise may have not known or ever thought to conceive. I don't know that I would ever like root beer floats if my grandparents never showed them to me.
I mean, in that same sense, like, I mean, obviously I'm not a boy. I'll never be a boy, but I grew up around plenty of them. And y'all are mean, especially when you're young. In that sense,
it's a way to get what you want.
I mean, not to girls. I'm just saying amongst yourselves, even.
In high school, it was the only way.
But in that sense, then you could have been bullied into being gay.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're going to be forced like you have to be gay. But I'm saying the mental stress that a lot of people, I know a couple of very aware trans individuals that have told me, and we had a conversation about this, that younger moments in their lives had shaped their because they ended up spending more time with their friends and doing this and that, and then being resentful of parent stuff that had happened or sexual experiences when they were young that made them push away from being, you know, from one way norm. From the norm. And I was like, man, that makes a lot of sense. And that's what got me in 2019, 2020 to the holy shit. They've got problems. A lot of these guys are very similar in their mental problems.
Yeah.
Like I saw a video today of a trans woman screaming at a black woman in the streets of New York over a shoulder bump while she was on the phone. The black woman was on the phone, didn't see anything, apologized. And then it was just, you're not going anywhere. I'm going to follow you. Follow. Oh, you don't know that I almost died this morning getting ready for work. I risk my life every morning getting ready to go outside. I'm brave. Why would you call the cops on me? It was crazy. It was absolutely batshit crazy. And all I can think to myself is that person needs help. I don't care if they're gay or straight. The idea that you're going through that means you need help. So why say that you're risking your life every morning if you could go get some help and not have to risk your life every morning?
You need to turn in for a grippy sock vacation and hopefully come out a little better.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. Just seek advice from somebody who's a little more sane than you, not somebody who's going through the same things as you.
That's the one thing that's hard being a female, because
this is a man. This is a full grown man.
But I'm saying, like, as a female, if I'm going through a hard time or somebody's done press the right button and I go to hit up one of my female friends, we just sink in and now we're both crazy and neither one of us can talk any sense into the other one because we both done lost our damn mind.
See, when I take a problem to a man, that man's going to be like, so fucking what about something that really shouldn't bother me?
Right.
So it wakes me up to the mound out of a molehill. I'm like, man, and my wife did this. And it's going to be like, it sounds fucking awesome. Like, let her do whatever and let her cool off and it won't be a big deal. Or that probably would go this way. Like, give me a different sense. The idea that, and this works in business too, where if you ask your employees for their advice on a problem that's troubling you about another employee, most of the time they'll give you an aspect about how that person's doing and why they're doing whatever they're doing rather than you being heated or pissed off about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So often, because we had in one of our stores, like, such a group atmosphere that I could have anybody was having a bad day or they were like snappy at me or slow on work or breaking a lot of shit. I could go to another employee who was close with them or working with them that day and be like, hey, what's going on before I fire this asshole? What is going on in their head? And they're like, oh, you know, their mother died. Oh, they're not going to tell me that because I'm the boss. But okay,
you should be telling your boss that. But
well, no, because they're a fear of losing the job, not being present. And I always come off like I'm a bit of a dick anyway. So, like, I'm not going to hear their problems.
I guess I could see that, because I remember one of my aunts passed right after I had started a new job. So I was still in the probation period. And I was like, I can't take off work for that. I feel like that's a little different when it comes down to a parent, though, but
I'm not giving off daddy energy at work. No. Right now I'm buddy energy, and that's where it's going to stay. I'm never giving daddy energy again. We all know how that ended. Sue me. The idea, it happened. Never going back there. California is dead to me. For the love of God, I just want the payments to end so that I don't have to go back to California. Please. That's my only goal in life. But yeah, Jackie Chan, if he made a Rush Hour 4 tomorrow, I probably wouldn't see it. Just because the way that daughter portrayed and the way he acted afterwards was like,
yeah,
dick of a parent. Because it wasn't like she was going through all kinds of shit. It was like, no, I just want to be with a woman. And then he was like, you're dead to me. No money.
Yeah, that really hurt my heart, because I originally heard Jackie Chan make that quote about his son initially. Mm-hmm. And he was like, my son will either make it himself or he'll just waste mine. And I heard that his son had been in, like, was a drug dealer and into just things that were, like, dishonorable to the family. Mm-hmm. Right. So I could understand that, being an older man, you don't want your son in the streets when, for what? Like, why are you selling drugs when you know, what do you need the money for, sir? You know what
especially
I mean?
When you come from money.
That's what,
like,
I'm
Rush
saying.
Like, Rush Hour, the series, I think he made over $100 million.
Right. It's like, you
Daddy,
know.
Daddy, give me money.
He's not, his family was not struggling. He wasn't out there trying to make rent.
But because he didn't like his daughter was gay, she was homeless with her girlfriend.
That sucked when I heard that.
Like, really homeless. I was like, well, on the streets.
Because I saw the headline and I was like, I know Jackie Chan had cut the sun off and I could kind of see where he was going with that.
And he's still doing photo shoots with the CCP and all this shit. And I'm like,
I was like, well, what happened with the daughter? And then I read that and I was like, no, he didn't.
Yeah. Luckily, he lives over in China where that's cool because he should have been canceled decades ago.
God, that hurts.
I know. Yeah, his movies, that's like if Jean-Claude Van Damme did that to his kids. That was the guy I grew up idolizing for martial arts. Jean-Claude Van Damme was my Chuck Norris.
I remember hearing his name a lot, but I was never, big into him.
Time Cop is a love story. It is everything. It was, he wrecked the time sphere to save all of it. And he was a patriot at the same time. If you don't know, but Time Cop was the shit. Back to the Future, the whole nine. Marvel wasn't the big thing when I was a kid. It was all about like time travel. They made more money off of fucking time travel in the movies than anything else. Because the biggest movies back in the 90s were early 2000s were either raunchy rom-coms, American Pie, time travel, hot tub time machine type stuff, or like period pieces, The Patriot, Gladiator, etc. So, and I wasn't really into The Gladiator or like Saving Private Ryan. One name, Forrest Gump, laugh like box joke. No, it wasn't my thing. Made a lot of money, but I needed action, heroism, stuff like that. I needed something to be like, I want to do that shit. I was a guy's guy. Didn't know it because I always thought I was like a little boy. Like, oh man, if anybody knew I was really soft on the inside, oh, I would never get anywhere in life. And then I was like,
now you got CJ.
It's cool to be nerdy. Now I've got a 16 by 24 3-set poster that my wife almost lost. I was not happy.
No, sir.
Okay. She put it under her seat. It rolled back to the third row. So all day today, I was in fear of like, I lost this poster I bought at Comic-Con that I really, really wanted to hang. And it is a cool fucking poster. Number one, rear of the DeLorean. First movie's kind of silhouettes. Centerpiece, center of the DeLorean. Centerpiece silhouettes for the second movie in the future. Third piece is going to be the period piece with the train and all that stuff. But front of the DeLorean, Back to the Future. It is fucking cool. And I'll show you that in the next video. Well, probably Wednesday. I don't know if I'll put it in this video, but this is what it looks like. If I did, if I didn't, then check the community post out. Stay notified. Hit the bell. I think it's like 90% of you aren't subscribed to the channel. If you want to be subscribed and watch us here, bitch about petty little things, or if we ever get sued again, I'm looking forward to it. Sue me.
I've got insurance.
But no, the idea, if you don't have insurance, I'm just going to say this very delicately. If you do not have insurance, not just for the trip and fall, but for theft, property loss, healthcare, loss of business, acts of God, fucking get it. Because it will happen if you don't have it. It'll happen anyway. Look at the statistics of shit happening or going wrong to everyone. Insurance makes money. I get it. Because something like 1 out of 5 people never experience a loss. Some don't know how to handle it, but just make friends with a broker. Go to your town hall meetings or make friends. Talk to a broker. They'll tell you exactly what you need. And then you don't have to talk to them after they write your policy. And then insure out the ass so that you get make more money than you lost.
There you go.
It's a Black Friday sale every time I get robbed. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time on Daring Business Hours. Peace.